You got to get to know that in order to market them adequately. Marketing is not just about placement in front of everybody. It's about strategic placement in front of people that want to do business with that type of a firm. And so you're hitting the nail on the head with that.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I hope you're having a lovely day, fabulous day. You know, something that I was watching over the weekend is this, I think it's on Prime, but it's called, I don't know if you've seen this, Jordan, but it's called All or Nothing. And it's basically follows a Premier League team. In this case, it was, who the heck was it? It was last year was like Tottenham Hotspur, and then this year was Arsenal. And I follow the Premier League. I'm not going to get into the soccer chat with you, but it basically followed the team through their season. And I mean, just amazing motivation and like, what does it take to be, you know, to win? And what does it take to have a winning season or win, whatever. I was just so inspired by it. Do you get inspired by sports or people like that or not so much?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a big sports fan. You know, I was growing up as a kid, grew up in South Bend, Indiana, original end of the Golden Dome there at Notre Dame. So it's just really bred into you. Acquired up by sports and the movies like Rudy and things.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, whether it's a movie or sports or motivational speakers, I find them all fascinating and rejuvenating at times.
Sure. I think Rudy and maybe Remember the Titans, two best like motivational right movies for football. Love them.
Another good one, yeah.
Good stuff. We're going to introduce Jordan in a moment. I want to welcome you all to the show, and hopefully you've been listening for a while now and you've been getting tips and takeaways, things that are going to help you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. As you guys know, I'm always trying to bring on, you know, top level minds in the legal industry to help you, you know, just work through a lot of the different ins and outs of what does it take to be a successful lawyer in today's world, crazy world. Jordan was so kind to send me a quote, and I love this quote for a couple reasons. I remember my father, Larry the Lawyer, used to get upset about just about everything. And I gave him this book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And he was then quoting me things from the book for like a year after I gave it to him. And of course, he's completely forgotten it and continues to sweat everything. But Jordan sent me a great twist of that. Who'd you get that from? You think you're a drill sergeant?
I think it was a drill sergeant back in the military days. Yeah, if I remember correctly, you know, in the heat of a moment, it was given to me and it stuck. And that has stuck for a long time.
All right. So we're going to start off with the book title of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. That's the original book title. This is what your drill sergeant said. Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
Right.
Did I get that right?
That's right. Yeah. You know, the reason it's stuck is obviously it's always a reminder to kind of just forge ahead and not get hung up on the small details or get down on the small stuff. But there's a little bit of a humorous twist to it, and I like to laugh. So yeah. Every time I heard that or said it myself, I or whoever I said it to got a little chuckle while also, you know, receiving the intended message. So,
yeah,
version.
And I have a sweaty teenager, and there's nothing worse than petting a sweaty teenager. So anyway, I totally love that quote. And yeah, I mean, it is so true. We, especially the stuff, the small stuff that we have no control on, and that's something I go back and forth with my wife all the time because she comes from a long lineage of worriers. And I try to say, look, you know, this lady said this to you, that's her garbage, that's not your garbage, or that's not your problem, that's her problem. And she'll sit and, you know, lament about it for like days. And I'm just like, holy mackerel, if I did that all the time, I wouldn't have any like mental capacity to do the things I do and stay sane. So I'm constantly like my wife's advocate to get her to not sweat the small stuff or touch anything sweaty.
Well, and you know, all the business owners and obviously the law firm owners or stakeholders too, whether it's a small business law firm or any other small business, they've got a lot of small stuff they've got to let roll off their back to stay focused on the larger mission. Otherwise, it's too easy as a business owner or stakeholder to go insane. So
yeah, and a lot of them are, and they're all, I mean, there's a lot of stress and pressure starting out a new year, ending a year, you're looking at the numbers, looking at the bills, looking at the lack of support. I mean, lawyers are at, you know, the stress level is reaching, you know, pretty high levels. And so part of what we want to do, you know, in this show and just generally is help them with automations, help them with ways of delegating, ways of letting go of things that are consuming time and energy and allowing them to kind of, again, try to, you know, live that best life. So Jordan Spear, you are the director of business development at Bold Digital Ventures. And I met you through, I think, your sales rep, Alyssa, right?
Yes.
Alyssa. Yeah, she's terrific. She's really wonderful. I just have enjoyed getting to know her better, and her introducing us was wonderful as well. Give us a little background. We've already kind of picked up military and some other things, but give us a little background and then, you know, we'll lead into our main topic today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mentioned before, military for 5 years, did military intelligence work, and then for the government for a few years, a number of years in Afghanistan, hearing a lot of cool quotes, the one of which we pulled out, and then sort of transitioned into sales. And that's why I mentioned spin selling. You know, it's fairly rudimentary or a beginner level sales book, but I had to make a staunch transition for the sake of being home with my family from military and being abroad to a sales career. And that was one of the first sales books somebody put in my hand and told me to read. And so, you know, given that, it's just kind of always stuck around as sort of the catalyst for jumping off into a brand new world, which I did back in 2012, getting into marketing sales. I've been doing that ever since, some B2B capacity. But then, you know, for the last 6 or 7 years, it's been solely dedicated to helping law firms, small to mid-size primarily, market and attract more business. And all of that, the vast majority has been through digital marketing efforts. I spent a number of years as an individual contributor all the way up to running a large swath of the country for Thomson Reuters for a while there, and then made the transition over to Bold Digital, as you mentioned, in the director of business development role. And so again, still a primary focus on the legal vertical. We do serve more than just that, but there is a niche to that given a lot of the background of the founders, et cetera.
Yeah. In any particular moment, I mean, if it was in the military or if it was just kind of going out on your own, like sort of your Be That Lawyer tipping point of like where you like felt your career shift or where you felt some real positive motivation to change things up?
Yeah, you know, I've owned a couple of my own small businesses, one of which I sold a number of years back. But I think, you know, founding my first business and sort of being in control from top to bottom of that really shed light on a lot of things, not just selling solutions or coming through the door and talking to people, but seeing it from their side of the table where you go to sleep at night thinking about your business. You wake up in the morning and forget to taste your breakfast because you're sweating the small stuff or you're thinking about, you know, what that day is going to bring or how to make your business thrive or do better. And so that time in owning my own business has really opened my eyes to their challenges and struggles. Maybe not just those that are on the surface, but also those that occur in the background of business ownership and the responsibility that comes with that. And so, yeah, the biggest catalyst for me was owning my own business. And it's helped me a lot now because when I'm talking to law firms or other small business owners, yeah, I'm talking to them about solutions we can provide to ultimately make their life easier. But I can resonate with them on a little bit deeper level. And it's not just about, you know, a product to do this for your business, but to relieve headaches and stress and less to think about, less to sweat about. And so that's helped me. It's helped me understand where they're coming from their angle. And it's made me better at what I do in a consultative manner.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a good lead into our main topic today, which is really about digital marketing. And, you know, I'm obviously a coach on business development side, but I just know that when you can combine business development and the right marketing strategy, the right marketing approach, and you put them together, it ends up being a little bit magical as it relates to how it not only generates business, but locks up business, drives long-term loyalty. So I want to get into the weeds on that. But one of the things I love to get in your head about is the common pitfalls that lawyers generally make when evaluating like what marketing, digital marketing efforts to implement. There's so many different options these days. There's so much money that's being, you know, or being thought to being thrown around. And I think there's a bad taste in a number of lawyers' mouths about, you know, I spent a bunch of money on this, it did nothing. I spent a bunch of money on that, it did nothing. And they're like frustrated with that whole situation. So what are you seeing as some of the pitfalls when there isn't a strategy in place?
Yeah, you know, the word marketing even has become just kind of cringeworthy almost, especially to the legal vertical, even though it's been a short-lived concept for that particular vertical and its, you know, legality, so to speak. But you know, some of the biggest pitfalls are, you know, first and foremost, are not really entertaining the idea of digital marketing. A lot of firms have thrived on their reputation and you know, being known for what they do and word of mouth. And so the first thing is just a general apprehensiveness to digital marketing to begin with, or any kind of marketing for that matter.
Yeah, they're like, if it ain't broke, why fix it? You know, why put money into something if we're getting leads in today, they'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, and that's what we try to explain too in the, you know, and again, this is going back to being a business owner myself and really taking control of your pipeline. And I've sat in front of countless attorneys and law firms. And one thing they'll all admit, even with a reputation, is that their business pipeline has ebbs and flows to it. And one month, the referrals are flying through the door. The next month, you think everybody forgot about you. You can't explain why. And so, you know, if nothing else, marketing for firms like that can help stabilize that pipeline and give you less to worry about over the Cheerios in the morning, because you've got another means of attracting qualified business and not just living and dying by when someone decides to provide that referral. And so, you know, there's just, and then in doing that and taking that next step to evaluate, what tends to happen is you've got people like myself from various organizations that come in with different opinions on what works, and some are a little bit more judicious than others, or look at it from one angle or another, or some are very superficial and just simply tell you, do this and let's go. And then you end up have a bad experience from something like that, and it can spiral into more barriers or defense against exploring more of those options down the road.
It's a Fretzen mantra that I teach all of my clients: prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And so we understand that in the world of doctors, right? That if you have a hurt arm and you go in and the doctor says, you know, easy peasy, let's just cut that arm off. Done. No problem.
Right.
Okay. Well, I kind of like my arm and I'd like to be able to, you know, hug somebody, you know, with two arms. So that's a terrible prescription without doing any diagnosis. So I agree with you that I think that everyone feels that whatever hole shape they have, that you fit in that. You know, if you are a triangle, but you have a hole shape, that triangle is going to just needs to be adapted to fit into that hole, which is not the case. Every law firm, every practice area has different ways that they, you know, can effectively market their business. And when you talk to some people, it's a one size fits all. Hey, everybody should podcast. Well, guess what? No, that's a terrible idea. Most people shouldn't podcast. It's the wrong venue, the wrong marketing strategy, the wrong XYZ. So I think you're right on the money that either they're not doing it at all, or because they've either had bad experiences, or because they're just kind of uneducated about it, or been led down so many bad paths, they don't know what to do.
Right. Well, and then like you kind of mentioned there with the anecdotal doctor story, there's a lot of marketers that, I don't want to say undereducated, but just a little bit more superficial in the approach. Hey, you know, everybody does pay-per-click. You got to do pay-per-click, for example. Come on in. That's what we'll do. It's turnkey. It's easy. It's easy for them to sell. It's easy to accept as a law firm who's heard of it. But is that the right strategy, either in a standalone manner or otherwise, you know, is yet to be determined until you understand the goals of the firm and what they're trying to accomplish. And of course, too, I think our next topic is marrying that with a little bit of data that props up the rationale for the recommendation on how to approach it for a firm. And I think we're going to get into that. So I won't put the cart ahead.
You're not going to put that cart in front of the horse. The other thing that I think is really important is how is the digital marketing agency or whoever you're talking to about marketing, what's their process for evaluating you as a client and you're evaluating them as a potential strategic vendor, if we want to look at it. And I have also found that there's way too much presenting, and that goes back to the prescription, way too much presenting, even if it's, you know, a bunch of different channels. I would rather have someone, whether it's me or a lawyer, like get to know me, get to know my business, spend some time asking questions. I got sold something the other day that was well over $100,000, okay, for me to do something. Not going to say what and get into the weeds on it. But I emailed the guy after and I go, look, I think you've got an amazing product, amazing solution, but I think your process is terrible. Like, I didn't say it like that, wasn't that mean about it, but like I was like, you know, do you want me to take 30 minutes and just help you selflessly help you with the way that you're managing these meetings? Because he hard sold me like he wouldn't even get around to the price until I basically had to pull it out of him. But then when he did, it was clear like that's an insane number for something that I don't even really need. Like, it was just really bizarre. So I think we really have to think about, you know, what the process is and use that as a way of understanding, is this agency good or not? Because if they're not asking questions and getting to know you and what's worked and what hasn't and all that, that could be a sign that it's not a good fit right from the start.
Yeah, no, Spot on. And, you know, a quick example on that is with law firms. I've sat down in front of hundreds, if not over 1,000 law firms and chatted on digital strategies and efforts and business development. You can imagine within that, I've sat in front of a lot of firms that work within the same practice areas, perhaps it's estate planning. But I can't really tell you, and they would all tell you this, but a lot of people would look at it this way. Almost none of them are the same business. They're all attorneys. They all do estate planning. They may do probate. They may not do probate. But the point is the way they approach their business, the way they see their value delivery to their clients, the ways that they carry themselves and interact or portray their, are all very different. And each one is an individual case. And you got to get to know that in order to market them adequately. Marketing is not just about placement in front of everybody. It's about strategic placement in front of people that want to do business with that type of a firm. And so you're hitting the nail on the head with that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Did you know that 36% of potential clients would take their business elsewhere if they had a bad call experience? Roll out the red carpet for your callers and website visitors with experienced and professional MoneyPenny receptionists. Our awesome team, super powered by technology, will get to know your business inside out so they can answer calls and respond to web chats exactly as if part of your team. Start your free trial by quoting the name Fretson and get started today with MoneyPenny.
With the help of Practice Panther, our office is more efficient than ever. We now provide an even higher level of service to our clients.
I've collaborated with Practice Panther for years, and I'm always hearing from happy customers just like that one. Practice Panther wants to save you up to 8 hours every week, and I want to save you money. All my listeners can get an exclusive discount, 50% off your first 3 months. Learn how your firm can boost productivity with automated workflows, custom intake, and native e-payments by visiting practicepanther.com/bethatlawyer to discover more and claim this deal.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
Let's take things further then. Give me your take on why it's important to understand maybe the behaviors of the clients or the customers in the area that you're focusing. So if we're talking about estate planning, why is it important for lawyers to really maybe take a deep dive to understand the behaviors of those, the way that those buyers buy or the way that those people behave before investing in digital?
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. And if people aren't kind of going down that road with you to educate your firm on your consumer journey prior to any recommendation, then it's probably not as thought out as it needs to be. In general, you've got legal consumer behavior, which we like to pay special attention to, because when we can ultimately understand that, study that, and then marry that up to marketing best practices to get in the way of those consumers' actions or journey, that's when we really start to have a productive strategy in place. But even so, within the legal verticals, the consumers act differently. You know, a staunch example would be a DUI case. You're going to want to market very differently to somebody that, in a very brief moment, immediately needs your services and needs to speak to somebody to convert, as opposed to the example you just gave on an estate planning firm, where not only are people apprehensive, or maybe they just don't understand they need to be engaging an estate planning attorney and have an estate plan, they've got to be nudged along, but their buying cycle is entirely different. They're gonna seek information. They're going to interact with a firm potentially in different venues in the digital ecosystem, and they're going to need to be convinced that it's worth finally reaching out. And so, you know, the way that we ultimately get in front of legal consumers because of the way they act and shop is just as important as the way we then go about fostering or handholding those potential leads to conversion as a law firm. And every single legal vertical is different in that sense and requires a different attention to detail and a different strategy to do so adequately.
So is there a specific example you can give me, maybe with a recent client of yours, where you identified the way that their buyers are buying, the target market they're going after, and how you kind of leverage the digital strategy around that?
Yeah, you know, I could probably, as I think about it, something a little bit more situational, and this is going back about 2 years, but I like the story because I like the strategy. We were working with a DUI firm, and they were wanting to educate local college campuses on the fact that they could still get those on the LimeWire scooters, et cetera. And we did a little bit of market research, and there weren't a lot of firms in that given market that were explaining that, producing content on that, getting in the way of those individuals that may have come across that type of an incident and be in need of help. And so, you know, we implemented a strategy to start producing content, both in the way of frequently asked questions pages and blogging content to educate these college campuses. And then, of course, ran that content through different mediums and through paid promotion to target audiences in those areas to help them understand, one, we want to try to prevent that from occurring naturally. And then even though law firms make their money on that side, they do want to, you know, proliferate content that helps their customers stay out of trouble or their prospective clients. And so ultimately what happened there is that became indexed and that content became relevant in that market. They became the only firm really discussing these pay to rent over the phone scooter issues. And we were able to attract a number of qualified clients, primarily around the college university there, that found them because of inquiries or otherwise searching online how to handle something like a situation like that. And we were able to drum up business that otherwise wouldn't have really existed for the firm. And that was a very quick turnaround and just sort of an isolated example.
Yeah, but I love that because you're taking a specific type of motor vehicle, a certain type of situation, and seeing that, yeah, this is happening quite a bit and it's not being captured, or it's not being captured in a way that's, you know, we can educate people, but you can't stop stupid. So, right? Things are going to happen. You want to be the one that they're thinking of when, you know, people act stupid, and, you know, drinking certainly supports that stupidity. Yes. And I enjoy drinking too, by the way, but I also know that I was quite stupid back in my college days. And I'm glad there weren't scooters available because that would have been problematic for me.
Yeah. I've watched it occur. It's something else, but
I just followed the train tracks home. That's how I got home, you know,
right.
Standard stuff. All right. So we're not going to get into my college experience any more than that, guys. So thinking about then, you know, looking at the client behaviors, and then how does that also then align with the appetite of the firm to invest, or the appetite of the firm to wanna, I mean, what kind of motivation do they have to invest money and really start putting it towards, you know, towards their marketing? Because I think that's a hesitation. Most firms are like afraid to spend the money. What's the return on investment? How quickly is it going to come? And that can be really kind of a source of frustration.
Well, and I think a lot of the frustration comes from just the ambiguity of what to do and what works and how do I know it's working? And, oh, every marketer comes in and it's just spend money and we'll see if we make money. I think when you come in and, as we do, and sit down and talk about the legal consumer trends, how they shop, how they make decisions to partner with a specific attorney, why they make the decision to do that. And you help the law firm and the attorneys really, you empower them really to understand, well, why, you know, for instance, I don't like to blog and I don't like people writing my blogs for me because they write at a low level and it doesn't represent me well. And so that's a common objection we hear a lot of times. But when you can start to help, you know, these law firms understand why there might be value in the circulation of content at the level of their consumer when they want to digest it, you know, that can help get them over the hump and erase some of the worry as to why we might be doing something. You know, one example I give firms all the time, and it's super important, is they all want to be in Google and they all want to show up for that vanity search term, personal injury attorney, you know, near me, right? And something that they don't really stop to think about is, well, that's going to attract a lot of visibility, but is there viability there? And there may be some, but that's your lowest converting arena when it comes to legal consumers. They convert into a client at around 4% when you're discovered through that means because they're either shopping for price, information, maybe they're a salesperson looking up for the next firm to call, right? So you catch a lot of the frivolous stuff with that. When we start talking to our firms about long tail searches, and that is somebody going in and searching out a very specific question into Google or looking for a, you know, what if I'm injured on a LimeWire scooter? Who's responsible? Going back to that, but putting the PI twist on it. Well, you know, if your firm can start to build up a robust amount of content on your website around those types of questions and things, and people are searching in that longer tail form for something very specific, and you're showing up, you're viewed as the expert now on that topic through your content. You're separating your firm. You're being discovered. You're answering a direct question. And so when we can have firms showing up and being discoverable for long tail searches, which, believe it or not, is a lot easier than competing for the vanity, we can get out there and convert consumers, you know, legal consumers at a rate of 24% in decline. And so starting to understand, you know, maybe the most efficient ways to go about it, again, needing to be in line with the goals of the firm, how quick they need to grow caseload, how quick they need to diversify the caseload. There's just a lot of real data out there that suggests there's a better way to do it. And so I think just understanding that data as the firm, empowering with that, makes that decision a lot easier to make to implement certain strategies.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And so let's say in, you know, not to make this an ad for your company, although it might turn into that, if someone's evaluating a digital agency to understand if there's a good fit, to understand if there's value there and in making that investment, let's say they've been burned before once or maybe multiple times. Okay. Look, I've spent, you know, I had a guy, you know, I paid $30,000 to do a website. And the most important part I told him at the very beginning was I wanted it to convert. I wanted it to be something that would lead someone to filling out a form, and it didn't do that. And I said, what's the biggest problem with my website? He goes, well, this isn't going to convert. I go, well, can I make for $30,000 back? Right. So like, it was like, we've all been in that place. So what are the like three tips that you would say, hey, whether it's me or it's someone else, if you're evaluating an agency and a strategy that would work for you, what are the top things that they should be looking for?
Well, I think you alluded to one earlier in the conversation, and that's that they don't come through the door with a pitch and with a product and something, you know, how can they recommend before they understand not only what you need, but who you are and how you conduct your business and who you serve specifically. So, you know, I can't tell you 9 out of 10 times I walk into a law firm and I say, is the website accurate? And they go, well, almost, but we have this on there. We don't even do it, you know? And so it's just really the first thing you gotta know is that if somebody's coming through the door with a recommendation right out of the gate, that's probably not a solid one. Somebody that's coming through and demonstrating some business acumen and asking the right questions and wanting to understand your business. When it comes to marketing, there's various tiers to it. Some of it's not just about the lead tomorrow. Some of it's about conveying the value of that firm to its consumer, differentiating them from their competitors in the market. You can't simply do that by walking in and building a website and running a pay-per-click campaign. You know, it's funny, you say conversion, you want it to convert. I refer to websites as conversion platforms all the time. Sometimes I got to then preface that by saying your website, AKA your conversion platform, because that's what they're built to do. And so, you know, just looking out for those people that are coming in, wanting to understand your business, asking the right questions. Number two, super important, I would say, is what we just were going through. And that is, you know, if I'm a business owner and somebody's coming in as a business development consultant for me to market me to my consumers, I'm going to want them to be able to provide me with some intelligence or some information on my consumer. Simply just understanding the ins and outs of building a good website or running a pay-per-click campaign, they're just going to fall short if we don't understand how is the consumer going to digest that? How are they going to find it? How are they going to interact? And what do they want to see to ultimately convert from something like that? So I'd say be on the lookout for somebody that really wants to educate you. They come in and it's an exchange of information. They want to know about your business and how you conduct it, how you go about your day. But they also want to share with you some information on who you serve and the things you know that they may not, that provide value to them, whether or not that firm partners with them or not. It should be consultative in that manner. You know, and number three, I tell people when they laugh, you gotta like me. You gotta like the rep. You gotta like the person you're talking to. You gotta believe that they're intelligent, they know what they're doing, and that they can deliver on their promises. Because when it comes to digital marketing specifically, it's a very much a relationship-based business. People will continue to do their digital marketing with somebody that they like, even if they don't know that they're doing the exact best job that day. And so, you know, if you can find an intelligent, consultative individual that understands the ins and outs of your client and digital marketing, and you check the I like this person that's sitting across from me box that I'm going to have to deal with on the business front with regularity, I think those are probably the most important factors.
And I would add to the last one, just their ability to convey the level of expertise of the team behind them. Because while you may be working with the owner, the rep, you know, someone that's in a position to help, you know, walk you through this buying decision, you know, the team that's on the backside, they're the ones that are actually, you know, doing the search engine optimization, the pay-per-click, the ads, and what's their pedigree? What's their, you know, is this being outsourced to, you know, here or there? And how's that being managed? And so you also want to be kind of aware of, you know, the backside of things. Just, it's not a bad question to ask, you know. Really great stuff, Jordan. So let's go to, and you mentioned this at the right at the beginning of our visit, that the game-changing book for you is Spin Selling, just really getting you the A's, B's, and C's of selling, getting out of the military and into kind of that career path, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure the attorneys out there, they've got some piece of collateral that they look back at that meant something to them or seemed groundbreaking or maybe, you know, acted as a springboard for them in their career that they now look back at as, you know, pedantic or not necessarily because their level has progressed, right? Spin Selling was just one of those first books that a mentor, as I crossed over into the sales and digital marketing world, put into my hand, said, read this, know this. I did. And, you know, it just sort of shifted my mindset from one career path in the intelligence community and being overseas and all of that. And then just kind of flipping the script into dealing with business owners, understanding needs, understanding what they're doing today, what they want to be doing, and ultimately how to help get them there with the products that you have at your disposal. And so it put me in the right mindset for that. And it was sort of a springboard for me into, you know, further exploring other collateral and just getting better every day at what I do and formulating that consultative sales approach that's benefited me and my clients alike.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I wrote, my first book is called Sales Free Selling, Jordan. And one of the reasons I wrote it was because I came up in sales and not just sales, but hardcore 80s, 90s, early 2000s sales, which was, you know, you got to sell, you know, convince, you got to get them to change their minds, right? Don't take no for an answer. Don't take any prisoners. I mean, that was the manager methodology that I came up with. And I always had a terrible distaste in my mouth about it. And feel, you know, almost felt like I, you know, was taking advantage of people, which I hated it. I hated that part of it. And I just like to be honest and have integrity. So Sales Free Selling, for those of you who would like to pick up a copy of that on Amazon, I think it's super inexpensive, or on Kindle, it might be free. But it really just walks, you know, how do we take that consultative style to the next level where it's all about building relationships, taking control of a meeting in a cooperative way, walking a buyer through a buying decision, right diagnosis first, prescription later, all the things that we just talked about. So Spin Selling, yes. Sales Free Selling, also yes. So Jordan, if people want to get in touch with you, they want to hear more about Bold Digital Ventures, what's the best way for them to reach?
Yeah, they can find us on our website at bolddigitalventures.com. Also, you know, I'm directly reachable at jordan@bolddigitalventures.com. Again, always happy to set up some time to chat, always happy to get in there and understand what you're doing. And you know, whether it's myself or any of the representatives of our company, we also offer, you know, free evaluations of your current digital ecosystem as part of that diagnosis and just sort of free exchange of information to benefit whether or not there's a partnership. Yeah, our phone numbers are on there and we're very reachable and very responsive, and we enjoy the conversations and have a passion for what we do.
Yeah, it's clear in talking to you that you do. And we'll have all that information in the show notes as well. So people will find it very easy to get in touch with you, Jordan, and check out your company. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsors. We've got Legalese Marketing, just helping, you know, take off something like acting as that sort of that CMO for your marketing, in particular, something they're doing with Lawmatics and other, you know, tools like that to help you automate. So like when I do this podcast with you, Jordan, stuff's being automated through Lawmatics, and Legalese is the one that sets up all those automations. So you'll know when the podcast is coming out. You'll have the assets to market it and put it out on social and do the, you know, the cooperative thing so we can get this a great interview in front of people. Obviously want to thank MoneyPenny. They do the live chat on my site. They also do live reception, so you can get rid of your receptionist, hire a virtual one that takes care of things and gets, you know, helps convert, right? Since we're talking about convert, you know, the web leads into, you know, or the phone calls that come in away from a phone tree and into actual business. And then, of course, Practice Panther, that wonderful practice management site and company that helps to just automate the way you're running your law practice. So that's all good there. Hey, Jordan, thanks so much for being on the show, sharing your wisdom. I think everything we covered today was just rock solid, helpful to the lawyers that are really struggling with the whole, you know, digital marketing, digital kind of strategy idea, and just they're kind of pretty unhappy about it, I think. And so I think you really laid out some great ideas and points for them.
Yeah, no, thank you, Steve. I appreciate, you know, the conversation and the platform to do so. And, you know, if anybody's wanting to dig in a little deeper to some of those trends and things and understand their consumer a little better, reach out to us.
There you go. And thank you, everybody, for spending some time with Jordan and I today. Hopefully you got a couple of good tips and takeaways. And You know, obviously this show is all about helping you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe, be well. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fredson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.